Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello and welcome to the Everything is Black and White podcast. It's time for the match preview with me, Andrew Musgrove, and John Gibson. Newcastle travel down to Turf Moor on Saturday to face Burnley in what is an important game for both sides. Newcastle in the race for Europe and Burnley fighting for their Premier League status. John, welcome back to the show. How are you keeping? You well?
A lot better, having seen Sheffield United put to the sword in the second half. Yes, a lot better, mate.
I was going to say, the first 30 minutes were not pretty. I imagine you were fizzing somewhat.
I was, but more with irritation than worry. I mean, irritation that we weren't going about the job the right way, but I had no concern that when we did, we would put it right, because they are awful. I mean, they've gone down with the worst record and everything. You know, the few wins, worst goals record for and against, and against us, an aggregate score of 13-1. I think that's quite decisive.
It certainly is. But I guess if you're Vincent Kompany, after drawing 1-1 with Manchester United, and some who saw that game might argue they deserved more than just a point, you will be looking one of two ways at Newcastle's last game against Sheffield United. On one hand, you will see them absolutely tearing them apart in the second half and scoring five goals. And really, if they'd kept their foot on the gas, it could have been 8 or 9. But you will probably take some hope from the opening 26 minutes, half an hour, the way Newcastle were very slow. Even after they scored the equaliser, you know, Sheffield United went down to the end and had two or three opportunities, and they could have gone in to the break 3-1 up. So I think if you're Vincent Kompany, you'll be looking in that opening half just thinking, we can get in Newcastle. And he's made it clear, John, that they're not going to sit back. They want to go out. It's what he called the big teams. And the quote is, we're not sitting in a deep block and inviting pressure. We're taking it to teams, and that's important. So given how Newcastle are tending to start a little bit slow in recent games, I think Eddie Howe's message to his players is going to have to be, you cannot start this way against Burnley, because they've got one thing in mind, and they are a desperate side as well. You know, they need this win.
Yeah, I think if I was Vincent Kompany, I would be looking on this in two ways. The first would be that, having been in the dungeon, the relegation dungeon, all season, they've suddenly struck some sort of form for a side second bottom. They've got 2 wins and 5 draws in the last 8 games. That's only 1 defeat in the last 8. So, A, I would take heart over myself, what is happening with my team. And B, I would take heart with Newcastle United's away record. Forget about Sheffield United. That was up here. Away from home, we've lost 10 out of 16. We can have a soft underbelly away from home. And the combination of that and Burnley's record of only 1 defeat in the last 8 is what will give them hope. I mean, a lot of people would argue, Andrew, and I think I would possibly agree with them, that this is the hardest match Newcastle have got left to play, because Brighton come up here and they've imploded. They're getting beat 4-5 now, a bit like Sheffield United. Their season's imploded. Then it's Manchester United away. They're flaky. They can get beat home or away. They're flaky. You've got a chance with them. And then we come to Brentford away on the last day, and it's the last day of the season with them having absolutely nothing to play for and us having a lot to play for, probably to confirm a European position. So it can, as silly as it sounds when Burnley are second bottom, it can be viewed as the hardest game we've got left.
Yeah, I agree with you to a certain extent, but as bad as Newcastle's away form is, John, Burnley's home record is absolutely abysmal. Two wins at home, lost 11. They've conceded 34, which is the same amount of goals Newcastle have conceded on the road. And usually when you look at it, when you look at a team, a side who are seventh in the league, going for the top six, facing a side who are fighting for their lives or in the relegation zone, and you read that record out, two wins at home for the side in the drop zone, you automatically think, well, this is a shoo-in. Surely there's only one winner here, but it's just Newcastle United's form away from St. James Park, which keeps me awake at night, and just the fact that they start games so slowly. And I really do think Burnley, you know, can punish them for it. Inevitably, Newcastle will probably get back into it and hopefully win the game. My question, John, is what does Eddie Howe tell the players? Because it is a problem. It really is a problem, the way they start games in recent weeks.
Yes. Totally. I've always said, give me the first 10 minutes of a Newcastle United game and I'll know what's going to happen. Because if they start front foot at a good tempo and now they go about the business the right way, my heart soars. And yet I watch them sometimes, they're slower than a tug turning an ocean-going liner at the start of a match. And then I get apprehensive because it is difficult to switch gear in the middle of a game. Set the tempo from the start. I mean, if you start sluggishly, it's difficult to suddenly hit top gear and be smooth. It's very, very hard. They've got to get it right from the start. And he's got to sit them down and say, how much do you want this? How much do you want this getting into Europe? Are you willing to die for it? Because three of your next four are away. And your away form is atrocious. And what bothers me, and I said this about Crystal Palace, and it's happened in other away games, it's not just the defeat, it is the manner of the defeat. We don't go and are unlucky losers. We don't do unlucky losers. We deserve to get beaten on the days we do get beaten. And that's got to change rapidly. And it's got to change now, because three of the next four are away. And as I say, I think this is the more difficult one, because as you rightly say, Andrew, that if you look at their home record, it is abysmal. But a lot of that was early in the season, you know. They've lost one of the last eight. All right, they may not be winning as many as they need to win to get out of the dungeon, but they're not losing. They've won two, drawn five, and lost one of their last eight games. They're not losing anymore. And that is a warning. That, coupled with our slow start and our away record, is a terrible warning. And it's awful because we oughtn't to be thinking like this. Newcastle are so superior, man for man, and collectively, to Burnley, that it's untrue. And yet, you know, we're not home and dry. The confidence I had going into Sheffield United, because it was Sheffield United and because it was at home, after a very dismal display at Palace, I haven't got the same confidence going to Burnley, simply because it's away. And Burnley will fight harder and will be more compact. That doesn't mean defensive, just compact, against us. There's no question about that. They will match us for courage. They will match us for desire. They will match us for desire. Now, we've got to match them for desire, because if we do, then our big-time players like Isak and Gordon and Bruno ought to turn the game in our favour. But we've got to match them for desire, Andrew, and we haven't done that away from home for quite a while.
Eddie Howe, after the Crystal Palace game, said, we started okay for the first 2.5 minutes. Well, they're certainly going to need more than that against Burnley. And I know we've discussed it previously, John, but I'm just wondering, since the last time we talked about it, if you come up for any reasons for Newcastle's poor away form? I mean, why are home comforts so much more?
It is very difficult, because last year we had the third best away record in the Premier League. We finished fourth in the table, but we had the third best away record. We lost 3 games out of 19. Now, I know that Nick Pope has been a huge miss. I really mean that. I think him and Joe Linton have been the two great misses of everybody that's been out for a long spell, etc., etc. Put them all together. Who will miss the most? I think Nick Pope and Joe Linton. And Pope, hugely, because I'm a little bit worried about Dubravka. I think he is a reactive goalkeeper rather than a proactive goalkeeper. He doesn't dominate situations. He reacts to situations. And I know how much we owe him for the service that he's given us over the years. And I know how he was Northeast Footballer of the Year in the dark days, etc., etc. But I just see some of the stuff now. On the early goal, Sheffield United, should he have come out and claimed the ball on the cross? Supermaca, who is sitting with me, thinks so. He thinks he should have come out and dominated that ball because it was played well inside his area. And he let it go to the guy that got the header in. Then he was beaten through his legs on the header. And then, if you remember, later he had a rush of blood in the first half, come charging out, the opponent went round him, and Dan Byrne stopped it on the line and got it out. I'm worried about Dubravka. So that is one of the reasons why we got where we are away from home, because obviously there's more pressure on us. Pope has been a huge miss. But after that, considering we had such a good away defensive record last season, ask Dan Byrne, who's been there. Ask Trippier, who's been there most of the season. Ask Shaw, who's never present. Why this season are we so poor away from home when you lads, the same lads, were there last season when we had this wonderful defensive record? And it's not just about the defence. Ask a midfield how, when they've been attacked away from home, teams have run through our midfield straight on the back four, run through them. And ask some of the guys up front, perhaps not Isaac, but some of the guys up front, who haven't scored goals away when they did last season. We have got basically, with certain changes, the same personnel as last season. And yet, everything we did last season, the rule book that we put out, signed by Eddie Howe for away form last season, has been thrown out the window. And I put some of it down, I really do, to missing Pope, because he's a sweeper keeper. He is proactive. He dominates his area. He makes things happen. He makes his mind up quickly. Dubravka, split second later, is reactive. Oh, he suddenly runs out. Suddenly he does things late. And I'm not putting everything onto him. That would be horrendous. But he is a step down from what Pope is. But most of the time, it's been the same players. Now, therefore, it's got to be attitude, application, apprehension. It's got to be all those things that make the difference. In other words, the difference is in the mind. But in elite sport, so much of elite sport is in the mind. Because with elite sport, whatever the sport is, you're talking about the very highest level possible. So you know everybody at that level has got skills. Whether it's at boxing, at football, rugby union, athletics, they've got skills. So what decides who's first, who's second, and who's third in a race? This up here in the mind, and a lot of it is in the mind with Newcastle this season, because it's virtually the same personnel that are making mistakes that they didn't make last season.
And it must be such a big frustration for Eddie Howe, because he spends all week prepping his team, preparing them with the tactics and the formation, and that's all he can do. You know, he sends them over that white line, and then it's the issue with the mentality, which just seems to impact them away from St James's Park. And if you are Vincent Kompany, John, you'll be looking at Newcastle United and thinking, okay, yeah, they won 5-1, but that was at home. On the road, they were an absolute different beast and not a good one. we can get the better of them here.
Well, I mean, what he will be relying on is the fact that the only place they will match Newcastle United is in application, is in determination, is in courage. They can match us on that. They can outdo us on that if we don't get it right. But they're not going to outdo us by having a better striker than Isak. They're not going to outdo us by having a better winger than Gordon. They're not going to outdo us by having a better midfielder than Bruno. But where they are going to outdo us, if we're not careful, is in the mind games, is the desire. They will be ready to die for the cause, which is staying up. We've got to be ready to die for the cause, which is Europe. Because if we match them on that, we win. If we don't match them on that, we lose.
Yeah, I couldn't put it better myself. I think what's going to be really interesting from Newcastle point of view is trying to take advantage of the way Burnley play. And Alan Shearer had a bit of a go at them on Five Live after the game against Manchester United, because my United's goal came from a Burnley mistake, and it's something that's happening time and time again. They love to play out from the back, and against Manchester United, it was Sander Berge who got caught out trying to play it out. And we've seen Newcastle United really take advantage of sides to try and pass it out from the back. If Newcastle United, and there's no reason, John, they shouldn't have the energy to have the press. If they can apply the press like we know they can really force Burnley into mistakes and really, you know, run away with the game.
I mean, Burnley are where they are for a reason, Andrew. It's never a fluke. If you're in the bottom three and have spent most of the season in the bottom three, there's a reason for that. And the reason for that is they've got players of average ability and they've got players that make mistakes. Now, incredibly, we, away from home, have got players that make mistakes. I mean, our defence away from home sometimes plays like a team you would think was fighting relegation, not fighting to get into Europe. And we've got to eliminate our mistakes and cash in on their mistakes, because they will present us with chances. And our hope, you know, I just look at what we have offensively if we get our attitude right. I look at what Bruno can stoke from the middle of the park. I look at Isak and I look at Gordon and I look at Callum Wilson coming off the bench. I mean, Isak, this season, he's got 19 Premier League goals, which has taken him above Wilson's mark of 18 last season. He's got 19 Premier League goals and 23 all in. That's phenomenal, because he hasn't played all the games because he's had injuries early in the season. And yet he's hunting down no greater figure than Alan Shearer, going back to 2003-04. Alan Shearer set two marks in 2003-04. He scored 22 goals that season in the Premier League. Isak's got 19 with four games to go, so he can get close or beat that 22. And all right, that season Shearer got 28 all in. He's got 23. That's a bit of a tall mark with only four matches to come and three away. But that is the quality we're talking about with Isak. We're comparing his figures to the figures of Alan Shearer. And we've never had a striker with figures like this since Shearer at the beginning of the 2000s. And, you know, Wilson has been our top marksman last three seasons or whatever it is. That mantle has now been taken over by Isak. We saw with Wilson's goal what a great finisher he can be. But, I mean, that's no good if he's sitting next to me in the stand for half the season, unfortunately. And we've got to remember that as well. He is not available often enough. But at this stage, he is gold to have on the bench. And Isak is just a different class. And you've got to hope that Isak has one of his days. And he does score goals away from home. I think of the 23... he's got eight goals away from home this season, which doesn't make him a homer by any stretch of the imagination, and that's good crack. Anthony Gordon's had such a magnificent season, but I was worried about him in the first half against Sheffield United. For the first time this season, he looked relatively disinterested in that first half by his high standards, and then he came alive and he was involved in assists, and that was wonderful, and we ran riot. come on, Anthony. I know you're going to play for England this summer, son, but we got you there, and we've got four games left. You can cement this season and cement being Newcastle United's player of the year. Despite all these Ajax goals, you can be player of the year. Just one last little push to get us there. And I've got to look at what we've got up front and think we can worry them. As long as we've got the platform to do it, which means the back keeping the door locked, and above all, having the right attitude. And I think that's what Eddie will have been doing all this week, trying to guarantee the right attitude. If he's got to work on defensive formations to stop goals going in, there's something wrong, Andrew, because it's a bit late in the flipping season to start telling our back four how to keep clean sheets, because you've been doing that all season, and basically the players have been available to you all season. It mightn't be your first choice. You love Mendo and Hall at fullback, and you haven't got Botman. But all these people have been around. They've all been molded into this way of playing. So this week isn't about telling them how to play. You may want to remind them, but it's about up here. You've got to get in here. And this is why managers, the very best, get the big bucks, you know. They're not just clever tactically. They're not just tub thumpers. They're not just Joe Harvey's and Ken had wonderful man management. You've sometimes got to get inside the brains of players and change, flip a switch in there so the thinking becomes different. And that is the team talks this week, which will be had around training, either before or after training, will be much more important, as far as I'm concerned, than what they've done when they've been on the grass.
Yeah, because against Crystal Palace, that application and attitude just wasn't there, and it hasn't been there on the road in many games this season. So you have to hope whatever's been missing on the road returns at Turf Moor. In terms of the way Newcastle United will play, John, you know, we've seen in recent weeks kind of a variety of setups. You know, sometimes they'll sit deep and invite the pressure on and then hit them on the counter. Other times they'll be made to have the ball and, you know, they try and control the game, which is, I still don't think is their strong point. I do think they're much better when they have to absorb pressure and hit teams on the counter. Given that Burnley, at least in the words of Vincent Kompany, want to take the game to the opposition, they want to have a bit more of the ball, will that play into Newcastle's hands, do you think, on Saturday?
Yes, I do. I mean, in a way, it's very difficult for you to dictate. If you want to play on the counter, it's very difficult for you to dictate that, because if the team you're playing against isn't willing to have the ball much, you've got a problem. You've got the ball too often. But if Vincent Kompany is saying we'll play on the front foot, we'll be proactive, we'll go after them, we're not going to have a low press, etc., etc., he's saying that as much for the Burnley fans to say, look, we are in trouble, and we know the only way out of trouble is to go looking for wins, not looking for draws. Because if you go looking for a draw, more often than not, it turns into a defeat, you know, because the margin is so small. They've got to go out looking for, because they can overhaul Forest and Luton. They can get out, but they've got to win, not draw now. But there is a possibility of getting out, and they've got to be on front foot. That will help Newcastle, because Newcastle are better on the counter away from home. There's no question about that. And therefore, if they want the ball and want to have a go at us, that's fine. Let us get ourselves organised and get on with it. We have played different ways in terms of the press, etc., etc. We've also played different ways tactically when he was putting Murphy in at the back in three centre-halves, etc., etc. I don't think that experiment will be reverted to at Burnley. He'll go flat back four and play the way he's played most of his time he's been at Newcastle United. Well, virtually all the time he's been at Newcastle United. And outside of whether Shaw was fit enough to play, I think the team will be the team that we saw start against Sheffield United. And if Shaw doesn't play, no doubt Kraft will. The only possibility of any change, I think, would be if Trippier suddenly got off his bed in Hills and made himself available and he decided to start with him. It right back, and it's how much Trippier is worried, and I can understand. He's worried about breaking down by coming back slightly too earlier, and he misses England. This is his last big England tournament, and he needs to come back one game too early and collapse and miss that, because then the opportunity's gone forever. But he will play at some stage before the season's over. Will it be at Burnley, or will it be held for the last of all, the last week of the season, which gives us Brighton, Man U, and Brentford? He'll not play in all three, I would think, but he'll come back. But outside of it being him coming back at Burnley, I can just see Shaw. We never know about injuries, though, Andrew, and illness, do we? We don't know after the Friday press conference. We know an hour, we know at 2 o'clock when the team sheet drops in front of us. But I can't see changes apart from the one that happened at halftime against Sheffield United, if Shaw can't make it. And it would be a shame, because he's ever present and he's only ever present, and would be, he deserves to keep that.
Yeah, I agree. I'll talk about the team in a second, but just on the point about Burnley having more of the ball, they had 52% possession against Manchester United. So that was at Old Trafford as well. I know Manchester United are a former shadow of themselves, but still quite a lot of possession to have at Old Trafford. I think it just gives you a little bit of insight into where Vincent Kompany's mind is at now. You know, he wants to take the game to the opposition, and he knows that he's running out of time. And, you know, the best way to get points is to do that and to take the game to the opposition. So I do think that will play into Newcastle's hands, though. But yeah, on the team, John, I don't think Trippier will be available this Saturday. We know he's gone out to Dubai. He was spotted on Monday flying out for some extra kind of conditioning. So I think he'll probably return, like you say, in that kind of final three games and protecting himself a little bit for what will hopefully be a call-up to the England squad. In terms of the rest of the side, I agree with you. Other than Fabian Schär, I can't really see him making any changes at all. I think it would be Emile Kraft. I know Alex Murphy came on, and Eddie Howe spoke about the importance of getting minutes into him, given Fabian Schär's injury. But I think Kraft has proved himself to be more than capable of filling in at centre-back alongside Dan Byrne. And I think, you know, for all the criticism of Dan Byrne at left-back, you know, at the turn of the year, and I think it was totally warranted, he's been colossal at the back, hasn't he, John? Big Dan Byrne.
Been colossal at the back when he's played centre-half.
Yeah.
And by the way, that is a huge compliment with no ifs or buts, because that's what he is. He plays his own position very, very well. And the old expression that I keep coming up with, it makes you smile ear to ear, which is a heart the size of a frying pan, that is his biggest asset, that he has got that. I mean, the way he got back on the line, when I was talking about Dubrovka early doors, he knew that guy was going to go around Dubrovka, and he knew Dubrovka wasn't going to get there. And he made certain that he got behind Dubrovka to block it on the line, and he did terrific, and he got other people out of jail. He is superb. And for his own sake, I feel reassured when I see him playing centre-half. I feel apprehensive when I see him playing left-back. And you know what? Deep down inside, I think he feels exactly the same. He would play in goal if Eddie asked him to. But he knows he's a centre-half, not a left-back. And he knows that if he plays long enough at left-back, he's getting hung out to dry in front of the public, because quick wingers are going to give him awful lot of problems. But there again, I keep saying Jack Charlton, you would never play the left back, and he's an absolute replica of Jack Charlton. You wouldn't do it to people like that. But he has been immense for Newcastle, playing in his proper position. And he's got to play there with Botman out. And that's a relief, because the problem with Dan Byrne is Fenn Botman. When he's fit and firing well, when he's a top player, he is a top player. So what happens to Byrne then? If you're loved with a passion, as Dan Byrne is by Eddie Howe, you can play at left-back. Murphy's loved with a passion by Eddie Howe, isn't he? And so often gets in the side in all sorts of different positions because Eddie thinks he can rely on him, and et cetera, et cetera. That's great. But by the way, Eddie, don't shoehorn people in at fullback all the time, my old friend. You know, don't turn Murphy into a right back and Byrne into a left back. Let Murphy be a good winger and let Byrne be a good centre half and play fullbacks at fullback.
We'll talk about good fullbacks. I am loving seeing Lewis Hall get a pot of run in the side. He looks so assured on the ball for a young man. He's got a bit of strength about him. Good in the tackle, got pace as well. And he's only going to get better, John. But I'm just enjoying seeing him in black and white and in the starting 11. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pleased for the boy because he's had a tough time here. Now, I'm not meaning for one second that very early on this season he wasn't sat down at Benton by Eddie and told, look, I'm hardly going to start you, et cetera, but I want to work on your fitness Monday to Friday. I want to work on your positional sense Monday to Friday. Keep your faith in me and I'll keep my faith in you and we'll turn you into a top quality player. Now, I'm certain that will have happened, but it didn't happen publicly. And so all the public, when he was going to meet him in the street or whatever, I was sort of thinking, are you worse than we think you are because you're not being risked? You know, are you dodgy? Are you not good enough? Have you been an awful guy? And he's had to live with this. And he's a Newcastle United fan, bless him, which makes it even harder. And while I think he will have been told privately exactly what's happening and reassured, so he's not full of dismay, he still took a public battering early this season. And it was understandably so. Fans thinking, what's going off here? We're buying a £28 million left back and playing anybody left back bar him. But now, with the help he's got in training, with the fitness levels improving, with his defensive work improving, he's now getting a run and looks a good young boy. And so my first joy is for him, bless him, because he's deserved it. By Jove, he's had a battering. If nobody's making, not his own, Eddie will have said privately, and it's hard for Eddie to come out publicly and saying what's happened, and that's not Eddie's style to explain himself anyway. But it's been a tough whole season, but it's a reasonably good end to it for the lad, and that's terrific. So go on, son, help us qualify for Europe, and then you will be able to float down Northumberland Street, not walk down it.
Yeah, worth the wait. And Bettino Livramento, you would think, at right back into the middle. Sean Longstaff, Bruno and Elliot Anderson. I mean, I would love Eddie Howe to have the option to just rest Sean Longstaff because, I didn't think he had the best of games against Sheffield United and he's coming for more criticism. He just needs a rest. He needs to be out the side. But the injuries to Joe Willock, the injuries to Lewis Miley just mean there aren't any options for Eddie Howe. So he's going to have to start him again.
Yeah, he desperately needs a rest, Andrew. You're absolutely right. For his sake, he needs a rest. And the summer can't come early enough for him to take those weary bones onto a beach in Spain and just lie there and recover. But you see, with Joe Willock not around, with Miley not around, the only way he's going to get a rest is if Joe Linton can come in and at some stage in those three games in a week at the end of the season. Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday games. He could get a rest then. When Joe Linton comes in, Anderson will stay in and Bruno will stay in. So the man that would go out would be Longstaff. But that's the only way he'd get a rest.
We're expecting Joe Linton to return at some point season. And, you know, early
that's
what was said. So it might happen this Saturday, and it would be fantastic to see him back. Absolutely fantastic, because he has been a big miss. And I'm sure Longstaff, as much as he wants to play, wouldn't say no to a place on the bench to conserve some energy and, who knows, maybe come off the bench and maybe get a fourth or fifth in a thumping win for Newcastle United at Burnley. On the wings, John, you're going to have Anthony Gordon, and then it's maybe a toss-up between Jacob Murphy and Harvey Barnes. We saw Harvey Barnes on the bench, didn't we? Which I thought would happen against Sheffield United. I thought he would be rested. He tends to do that, and then he tends to start him. I think he might start Harvey Barnes, truth be told, and pop Murphy onto the bench.
I would be happy with that because I think Barnes, Gordon, and Isaacs are best front three when they're all buzzing. I've got a feeling the other way from you, that he loves Murphy so much, and Murphy did absolutely nothing wrong, and he's quick, and he works back perhaps a little bit more than Barnes does, and he might end for an away game where working back as well as forward is going to be crucial, because we're going to have be under the cosh at some stage, that he might just go with Murphy, but Barnes is there, and he might let Barnes loose on the home game against Brighton. But either way, if it's Murphy or Barnes, I'll go with that at this particular stage. I do think long-term, Barnes has a very good future here. But it's been such a stop-start season for the lad. It really, really has. We've had glimpses of what a good player can be and what a goal scorer he can be. And that's the good thing. Our front line, when we have Gordon, Barnes and Isaac, is all three can score. And all three do score, and that's good. When we have Murphy, less so. When we have Almiron, certainly less so, in terms of goals I'm talking about. You're going to get goals out of those three more. But whoever starts, I'm pretty sure the other one will come on off the bench in the second half. Both will take part in the game at Burnley.
Well, that's it anyhow, starting to get options back. Okay, lacking the options in midfield. I mean, we didn't mention Joe White when we talked about the central midfielders. I'm sure we might get to see a little bit more of him in the closing games of the season. But at least on the flanks, John, and up front, he is starting to get bodies back. You know, we mentioned there, it's either Murphy, Harvey Barnes. You probably have Miguel Almirón back if Saturday's too soon for him, no doubt, for the game after that. And then up front, you've got Isak or Wilson. I mean, you mentioned it earlier in the show, but how nice was it to see Callum Wilson come off the bench and not only make an impact, but grab a goal as well?
Yeah, and it was a good goal. That was terrific. We know he's got that. The two biggest certainties with Wilson is that he'll score goals and he'll get injured. They're the two biggest certainties. And one's a big plus and one's a big minus, but they're fact. And of course, you're talking about what we've got on the wings. I mean, you know, you can bring Barnes on for Murphy or Murphy on for Barnes. But if you're going to bring Wilson on for his goals and you're not 5-1 up, your level or your one goal up, you keep Isak on with his 23 goals this season, but he can play left wing beautifully well. You don't have to take it. It's not like for like with him and Wilson. He can play with Wilson in the three. And so that is an extra. And if the game is tight, you'd want Wilson on because he can score, but you wouldn't want Isak off. And it's quite easy to play them both because Isak can just play left because he wants to play across the front line all the time anyway. He doesn't play the Wilson way of centre forward. He plays it in a different way. So there's options there, which is terrific. But, you know, we've got to turn up. That's the first thing. And then if we're scoring goals or we've got that potential to score goals, we've got to shut the back door as well. We're playing away from home. We've got to turn up and we've got to shut the back door.
Yeah, certainly so. And I just want to ask you a quick question on Wilson, though, because when Isak was going for his hat-trick against Sheffield United, Callum Wilson goes into the box and he squares it to Alexander Isak. And it was mentioned on the Monday show with Matthew Raisbeck from BBC Newcastle, who was the special guest. And we spoke about that pass from Callum Wilson. And I said, look, lovely to see, but I suspect strikers of a certain level might have had a few choice words for Callum Wilson. And you said you were sitting next to Malcolm McDonald. So in that instance, John, when Malcolm has a chance to shoot on goal or pass it to his teammate, who in the old days would have been John Tudor, and even though he'd be on a hat-trick, what would Malcolm have done, do you think?
Oh, there's absolutely no question. He would have pulled the trigger because he believes that he was the best goal scorer in the team, so why give it to somebody else? And by the way, big Alan Shearer would have pulled the trigger and all. He wouldn't have passed it to somebody else. And by the way, why is Wilson passing it to someone else? Because Isak doesn't score hat-tricks. He scores twos.
I mean, no one scores hat-tricks, John.
Sorry?
No one. The last hat-trick at St James's Park, 2019. Do you know who got it?
Go on.
Iosi Perez against Southampton.
Good gracious me.
Been that long of a wait for a hat-trick at St James's Park.
Was that apart from the hat-trick of Chris Wood at St James's Park? Oh, that was for Nottingham Forest.
We'll not mention that one. In terms of the league table, John, you know, it's a massive, massive game, of course, for Burnley. They are 2 points off safety. They're looking to drag Nottingham Forest into the relegation zone. But for Newcastle, it's an equally as big as a bigger game for them. They're a point behind Manchester United with a superior goal difference. Of course, Manchester United, they've still got to play in the penultimate game of this Premier League season. But, you know, Newcastle United on paper should be winning this game. In person, they should be winning this game. And if they want European football, they want that Europa League place, they have to be winning this game, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, yes, to make certain. If they drew and then they beat Brighton, and then anything can happen in the last two. I mean, you'll beat Brentford. If we need to win to go into Europe, we'll beat Brentford because they've got nothing to play for. Manchester United's flaky. We're beating them twice already this season. We'll either beat them or Fernandes will score one of these outrageous ones and we'll lose by one. It's Bruno v. Bruno at Old Trafford. That's going to be fascinating. But honestly, I do think this is the hardest game we've got left. And we ought to win it. And yet I've got a feeling about this game. Because we're away and because we've let ourselves down so often away, I've got a feeling, you know how you've talked about feelings in your bones recently when you've said, we both want Newcastle to do something so badly, it's untrue, but you get feelings in your bones. I hasten to add the feeling in my bones, isn't it, Newcastle going to lose? It's just that they're not going to win. And it's because I don't recognise my side away from home. And even when we win, I mean, we won magnificently at Aston Villa, taken this year and not the first half of the season, taken this year, 3-1 at Aston Villa was wonderful. But when we won our last away game, Fulham, we were dreadful until we got the goal. I mean, I was hoping at Crystal Palace, that Crystal Palace was a repeat of Fulham because we were playing like we did at Fulham and we come out of it with a 1-0. So our last away win wasn't copybook away 3 points at all. It was out of jail 3 points. And really, it is quite incredible what you know how much we've changed from last season away from home when the personnel hasn't changed hugely.
Yeah, well, I agree with you 100%. And I am sitting here thinking, we just beat Sheffield United 5-1. We should be thinking of nothing but victory against Burnley. But it's just something about Newcastle on the road, isn't there? I remember last season, John, every game you went into with Newcastle, you were thinking, they've got this in the bag here. And yet we're sitting here facing a side who look destined for the championship and we're both not betting a mortgage on them beating them, which is a strange thing to say. It is a real strange thing. And there'll be some eternal optimists out there who say, Dad, don't worry, they're going to beat them. And I would love to be in that camp, but I'm not willing to bet everything I've got on it.
You see, if we can win, Andrew, if we can win this one, not only does it give us 3 points, but it changes the attitude for going to Manchester United and Brentford. You know, all of a sudden we'll forget our poor away form and suddenly say, hey, we took Burnley apart and before that we beat Sheffield United and we've just beaten Brighton at home. Come on, we can do this. And we can. But if we lose to Burnley, the minute we go over the Tyne Bridge, we'll have a nosebleed. You know, the minute we leave the Tyne Bridge and go down to Old Trafford or go down to Brentford, we will once again be saying, oh, dearie me, can we? So there's a lot riding on this. There's a lot riding on this particular game.
There certainly is. How is it going to go?
Well, yeah.
With all that said, John.
I'm dying to say we'll win. But if I'm being asked to be honest, and we can be honest because we know and everybody that's listening or watching knows that both all the fans and we are two fans as well as two paid hacks, we want Newcastle to do well because we've got black and white blood and also it helps makes our job easier. But it's not fence sitting because it can be three results. I think we'll draw.
I agree. I think it'll be a point. I think it'll be very tough game, and I do think we'll probably see a kind of a Jekyll and Hyde performance from Newcastle where they won't start well, I don't think. I think Burnley will get the early goal and then Newcastle will have to fight and dig deep to get the point. And I think Burnley will just throw absolutely everything at it. And I don't think it'll be pretty from a Newcastle point of view at all. And I have to be honest, I think they'll be quite grateful when that final whistle goes. That being said, John, every time we seem to do that and we seem to predict a tough game and a draw, they run absolutely wild. So hopefully that luck continues. Thank you, as always, for bringing us the match preview, John. Pleasure, as always, to you guys watching. Give a thumbs up to the video. Hit subscribe on the YouTube channel, on the audio channel. Thank you for joining us. Your support is much appreciated. Leave us a rating and review if you haven't already. And head over to chroniclelive.co.uk for all the latest Newcastle United news, including Eddie Howe's press conference on Friday morning.